We were just talking to Mike Massimino, who is apparently, now I'm not familiar with this stuff, but apparently an astronaut who is also a Mets fan, which is more important than the astronaut stuff. But now I'm, so Mike, excuse me here, I'm not familiar, like I think it's cool, I've never talked to a real life astronaut before.
Okay.
So I'm, not, but we
it's,
appreciate you listening.
It's all uphill from here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Joe
might be the last one.
Mr. Torrey just introduced me to Mike, and you tell me some of the stories here, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I have some like rudimentary, basic
sure, man,
stuff.
Whatever you don't know.
Well, first, how did you know? How did you get to meet Joe Torrey?
Well, I'm a huge baseball fan, just like you, Sal.
Okay.
I grew up. I'm a bit older, so I remember the '69 Mets. I remember landing on the moon and the Mets winning the World Series in the same year, and that set my. I was 6 years old when that happened, and that's been always been my two passions: is baseball, particularly the Mets, and. And spaceflight, right? And I grew up to be an astronaut. I couldn't hit a curveball, so I grew up to be an astronaut.
Yeah, two totally different.
Yeah,
like,
two totally
being a Mets fan,
things.
Being an astronaut. Okay, spaceflight.
Yeah. And then Joe came down for a tour. He was managing the Dodgers in 09, and he had met one of my colleagues, a Yankee fan named Garrett Reisman from New Jersey, who's also a big baseball fan. So they got to know each other, and Joe came in for a tour, and I was part of that tour, and I got to meet him and some of the other folks with the Dodgers, and we immediately became friends.
So you grew up, where are you,
since.
Where are you from originally?
Franklin Square, New York,
okay.
From Long Island. That's where I grew up, just outside of the city.
And then you had to move to Houston?
Yeah, well, you know, went to school, college, grad school, moved around the country a little bit, but lived in Houston for over 20 years, yeah, as an astronaut. That's where you live
now,
when you're doing
okay,
that.
Okay, but you loved being an astronaut, or you wanted to be an astronaut long before that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have
yeah.
an issue, like, when the Mets were playing the Astros in 86? Who to root for?
No.
Listen,
no, I was in grad school then.
Okay.
I'm a Mets fan. I would go to all the games when the Mets were playing the Astros down in Houston. Used to be only like three games a year, right? They'd
right.
come in for one look at them, and I would go to all those games. So no, there's no conflict. I'm a Mets fan.
Well, yeah. I understood, but like
and the Astros, I rooted for because they were the local team.
You did. Yeah, well, you were an astronaut. I feel like
if
I wanted to be an astronaut, maybe I'd root
for
the Houston Astros.
I would also say this, Sal, is that the Astros were really very supportive of the space program. When we had our accident, we had a space shuttle accident. They all wore the shuttle patch. So I got to know a lot of the folks in that organization and some of the players, and we'd go there quite often. They had me throw a pitch out at one of their games, and they're a great organization. But, hey, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, I would go with the Mets.
All right, so which we respect, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
We're talking about Mike Massimino. So the way to label you is, like, real-life astronaut, right?
Former NASA, if you want to be official,
yeah.
former NASA astronaut.
Former
yeah.
NASA
yeah,
astronaut.
Right.
So you're talking to somebody who's afraid of heights.
So am I. I don't like heights either.
But you went to outer space.
A lot of astronauts don't like heights, Sal. It's you know what it is? It's not you're not really afraid of height. What you're afraid of is gravity. Because you're afraid of falling off of something, right? If you're looking over the edge of a cliff or
right.
a building or a bridge, I don't like any of that stuff.
Okay.
But as long as I'm moving, like in an airplane, I'm fine.
Right? What about a roller coaster?
Roller coaster I'm okay with, too.
Mm, okay,
yeah,
because
you're moving. I think as long as you're moving and it makes sense what you're doing, it's okay. It's just like looking over the edge of a building, you know, that kind of thing I don't like doing.
What type of rigorous training? Is there rigorous
yeah.
training to be an astronaut? Take me through it a little bit.
Yeah, so it's an interesting combination, I think, Sal. It's kind of like, you know, book stuff you have to learn. Like you're in school. This is how the spaceship works. This is how the spacesuits work.
So you have to be book smart first.
Some of that stuff, yeah, you need to be like you. So all of us, the professional astronauts, you know, the people who do that around the world, generally come from a technical background: engineering, science, medicine. It could be all kinds of anything. But like you know, kind of understanding technical issues and be able to solve problems. That's part of it. The other part of it is when you talk about training is some adventurous stuff. You know,
right.
flying in jets, which was awesome. I mean, I was a civilian, so
didn't
I
have to pilot it. You just
no,
fly? Okay.
No. What it was for our job, we had test pilots and instructor pilots that would fly the front seat of the training jet, and we would fly in the back seat, so we could do all the flying. But we couldn't land or take off. But other than that, we could do the flying. But it was I have about 1,000 hours in a T-38, which is a high performance jet, which was a whole new world for me.
Okay,
that aviation.
Take me through like your
yeah.
first. What was it called? Like flight into orbit or
yeah.
outer space? Okay, like are you mentally? Where are you at mentally?
Well, my first one happened in the middle of the night. We had our launch. You know, you're depending on the day you launch, there's a different window that you can get to where you want to go. So. The first launch was we were taking off at like 5 a.m. So we got out to the launch pad at about 2 in the morning. So middle of the night. And the first thing I noticed looking around the spaceship, there's nobody there. And what had happened, they put fuel in the tank of the space shuttle. And so once they do that, they basically have a bomb sitting there. So they clear the area. It's like, where'd everybody go? Usually there's like 1,000 guys working on it. So no, it's like deserted. and there's smoke coming off of the spaceship. It's just water vapor, and it's making these really hideous noises. I think it was like the cryogenic fuel going through the pump. So it sounds like it's moaning. It's brightly lit, and it looked like it was alive, and it looked like a beast. And so I have all these, you know, all these years since I was a little kid dreaming of this day. You know, it kind of hit me. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea.
Yeah, get the hell out of there. Like,
but by that time, it's too late, Sal. Because even if I ran for it, they would have run me down and it put me on.
So you had to get in that thing and struggle?
But once I got, you know, the thing about it, you talked about the training, and it's kind of like whatever you do, right? Getting on the radio, doing what you do, you know, it scared a crap out of a lot of people. Maybe even did you at when you started.
Right, I used to fear public speaking.
But you get used to it, right? You get trained. And it's the same thing with anything, you know, whether it's, you know, baseball or whatever it might be. They train us so well that it almost seems normal, and you start building up trust in what's going on. So, you know, I had trust in my equipment and trust in my training and trust in my team. We're all there together. And that's another big part of your training, is learning how to be part of a team. And a lot of that you learn in sports, right? When we're kids growing up and playing sports, that's what it was like as an astronaut, is that it's, you know, it's all about the mission. It's all about what we're trying to accomplish. And they actually train you as a team to solve problems. And so when I remembered that, I was okay. And once I got inside the spaceship, I was fine.
What was the, like, best mission that you've been on?
I've been on two really good ones. Both were to the – I've only been on two total. Every mission is a good mission.
Okay.
But the one that I really enjoyed more was my second one. I went to the Hubble Space Telescope twice, and I was a spacewalker two times. I think the reason I like
this – Now, what does that mean, spacewalker?
So spacewalk means you get into a spacesuit and into an airlock, and then you go outside of the spaceship and move around, either on the end of the robot arm or with your hands as you're what we call translating
to the moon.
No moon.
Okay, no.
They haven't
moon.
Done
okay.
that since 1972. Okay. All right, so, all right. But hopefully soon we're going to send people back there. But okay. No, this is just my mission was with Hubble. So in my era of being an astronaut, they're still going to the space station. So some of my colleagues went to the space station, and a smaller number of us were lucky enough to go to the Hubble. So I was like a repair person. So we went and fixed the telescope. Hubble takes all these amazing images and makes all these discoveries, and it was designed so that you could take things out and put new stuff in and work on it during a spacewalk. And so we were like repairmen. Like someone is coming in, or, you know, if you're fixing your car, or your washing machine, or whatever it is, we kind of did that. You know, we had tools and we had very fancy clothes and a great view of the Earth and all that when we were doing it. But we were repair people in space. is what our job was.
We're talking with astronaut Mike Massimino here at the Joe Torre Safe at Home Celebrity Golf and Tennis Classic here. I'm going to be honest with you and the audience. So when Joe introduced me to you, he's like, "Oh, he repaired the Hubble telescope." I swear to you, you know what my first thought was? Something with Carl Hubble and the Giants. And I'm like, oh, Carl Hubble.
There's another guy.
Yeah. So that's my...
This is another guy. His name was Edwin Hubble.
Okay. Well, all right. He came up
with the Big Bang Theory. Not the TV show, but the theory of the universe.
And one of the cool things Mike just showed me during the break here with Joe Torre was the picture that you took of his... So he gave you his 2000 World Series ring, which I would like to launch into outer space and keep it there, being a Met fan.
Actually, I flew something else for Joe. And I had just met him, and I couldn't get anything. It was too late to get things on board, so I took in my notebook an insignia that I presented to him of the Dodgers, because he was managing the Dodgers at the time. The ring you talk about was taken into space by my buddy Garrett Reisman, who's a Yankee fan, who flew dirt from Yankee Stadium in space. I flew the home plate from Shea Stadium as the two stadiums.
And what were you guys doing with it? Just to take it there and bring
just
it back?
Well, I'm such a fan, Sal. Right? So my first flight, I flew a jersey for John Franco. And so I started a relationship with the Mets and got to know Jay Horowitz and Ethan Wilson and that whole group of folks. They're wonderful people. And so that's what I did in my first flight. My second flight happened in 2009. It was supposed to happen in 2008. We got delayed a bit. In 2008, I think 2008 was the last season they played at Shea.
Yes.
So I called Jay up and I said, "Hey, Jay, you know, my friend of mine is taking dirt from Yankee Stadium." And he says, "Yeah, I heard about that, Mike. We can do better than dirt. Would you like a home plate?" So they shipped me a home plate.
Awesome.
It was from the 2007 season. And we were able to take that with us. But it's just
you should have left that there. 2007, the collapse.
You know what? It's interesting you mentioned that, because when they sent me the plate, right, it had the dates on it, and it was at the end of the season, and my son, who was probably about 13 at the time, says, "Oh, I don't know, Dad, if we should fly this. This one was, you know, this was when it collapsed." But you know, we took that with us just as a way to pay tribute to the Mets and my interest in baseball.
Did you watch like Interstellar or Armageddon? Have you seen those movies?
Yeah, I've seen them. They're Interstellar is kind of complicated, man. I've seen that about three times.
Is that that's the one with Matt Damon?
No, the one with Matt Damon was The Martian.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to mix up. What was Interstellar? Was that a space
Interstellar
one?
Had Matthew McConaughey in it, and he's
that was a space one, or
that
not?
Was a space one, but kind of in the future.
Okay, yeah, but I remember.
Yeah,
the
no,
one,
I love space movies.
The Martian.
The Martian's a good one.
Armageddon,
yeah.
Obviously tough ending.
Yeah.
We don't.
It was cool. Yeah,
but like that's what I think of when I think of astronauts, and you're like a real life, like you get it.
Yeah, see, that's why I always like those movies. Sound like people say, "Oh, do you care if they're realistic?" I really don't care as long as the astronaut looks cool, because people, you know, they're going to see that thing, right? They go, "Oh, astronauts are all cool and they're all fit and everything," and we're not necessarily like that, but that's what people think. So as long as they're cool in a movie, I'm good with it.
You still have like your suits or helmets for memorabilia?
Well, no, it's a government program, so they take that stuff back. you can have a couple things with you. Like sometimes I have a watch that I took with me that I wear once in a while. Different items you have with you. But no, the official equipment, that's expensive. They want that stuff back.
Understood.
Yeah. It's a government program.
Is it weird, like, going to the bathroom in outer space?
Yeah, nah. It's one thing you kind of fear that, you know? Like, you're worried about, like, how's that going to go?
Either way, I mean.
Stuff floats, though. So, you know. And there are certain things that could really destroy your mission.
Is there a bathroom up there?
Oh, no, yeah, no. There's a bathroom up there for sure. Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Yeah.
But, like, where?
Yeah,
where's
so
the toilet?
You have
on
a commode. No. Okay. It's a commode. We call it the WCS, so you don't call it a toilet. Like, if they say, hey, we have trouble with the toilet, you know, and you say that to the ground, someone might hear that and worry. But if you say the WCS, people don't know what that means. So it's the waste contamination system.
Okay.
And it's a toilet and a hose to pee in, more or less.
Okay.
On the shuttle, they would collect the urine, and then it would get dumped. On the space station, they collect the urine, and then they clean it and purify it, and you drink it.
You had to do that?
No, I wasn't on the space station, but I've drank that water out of that system on Earth, and it tastes fine. As my friend Don Pettit would say, who's an astronaut, he says, today's coffee is tomorrow's coffee. We'll see it again.
Oh, what's the most challenging thing that you've had to endure as an astronaut?
I think for me was learning how to make mistakes. You know, like in sports, they tell you, you know, forget about your mistakes, have a short memory, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can't get in a game, you can't do that. You make a mistake, you got to move on. The game's still going on. And the same thing with being an astronaut, I found that things would inevitably go wrong. You'd make mistakes. And what I used was something I used to call the 30-second rule, where you give yourself 30 seconds of regret to beat yourself up and then move on. But I found that to be one of the more, because you can't just wallow in the misery. You got to keep going. And then some of the other things that were challenging for me was a lot of this high adventure stuff. Like, I don't like heights. And I was put in situations where, you know, it was a little sporty for me. And I was a civilian. I wasn't a military guy. So it kind of put me, I was out of my comfort zone during a lot of the high adventure training. So those were probably the most difficult things.
And you're retired now? No more?
I left NASA 10 years ago. I teach now at the engineering school at Columbia University.
So
I moved back to New York.
I used to broadcast the football games there and basketball.
Oh, cool. Yes, I've listened to you doing that. You do a good job with that. I love going to those games and the basketball games as much as I can. Yes, that's where I am now.
All right, last one for you. Talking with Mike Massimino. Pleasure to get to meet you have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
Tougher to be an astronaut or a Mets fan?
I don't know how to answer that, I guess. I really love both. I don't really think, I think that being an astronaut was a very challenging job, but it was my job, right? It was my profession. So I had a little more skin in the game there. Being a Mets fan, you know, it's more of an enjoyment thing. I try to enjoy it. And I think I'm really happy with the way the team is headed now with their ownership and David Stearns, if he's a GM or president or whatever his.
Yep.
I think we're in good hands there. And that manager and the players they have.
You going Saturday? David Wright?
No, we're out of town, unfortunately. I went to his last game, though.
Okay.
I went to his last, when he played that last game for like an inning or two.
Right.
I was there, but he was very nice. I got to meet him. He wouldn't remember me because we weren't really introduced, but I was at a game once with my kids, and people have a lot of these kind of stories, I'm sure, that encountered him, of how nice he was with the kids and everybody when he was playing. So I'm very happy for him.
Mike? Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Pleasure meeting you.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, next year we'll have it again. Fun.
Oh, man.
I'm going to do my homework this time and then maybe get into a little more detail.
No, you're great.
I don't know anything about an astronaut, but it's like, wow, this is cool.
I love listening to you. No matter where I am in the country, if I was in space, I'd be listening to you up there too. Because, you know, you get on the app and you can get the replay.
Come on. I want you to go up there, take the Odyssey app up there, and you can say you listen to Sal on the Fan.
That's a reason to go back, but I don't have many others. So I think we might just have to listen to you from where I am on Earth.
Fair enough. So.